the headlines, amidst the white noise, amidst the visual, the optics of my goodness, of what we saw this weekend, amidst all of that, we have everything else taking place behind the scenes. Everything else going on behind the scenes. And look, I would urge everyone to understand that sometimes the optics become overpowering, overbearing, and you start looking at what they want you to look at. You look at the shiny trinket that's being dangled in front of you. With us tonight to talk about the issues is Lexi Bess. Now, Lexi Bess has been on before. I like this young lady. We're going to be talking about the NFL protest. Yes, it's a First Amendment right, but it's just like burning a flag. It isn't always the most appropriate time or place. But Lexi Bess, her website is lexibess.com, and she's on Twitter as well. Is she on yet? Do we have her on? Perfect. Let's bring Lexi on. Lexi, how are you?
I'm great. How are y'all?
Oh, fantastic. So what are we to make of this? Man, you know, I couldn't wait to talk with you. Joe and I couldn't wait to talk with you today. What do you make of all this that's going on?
Oh, man. It's such an interesting... It's so interesting what's going on, because we knew that this has been going on since last year. And whenever the president went to Birmingham, Alabama, and he said what he did on his platform, I was not surprised. I was surprised, but I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised by the fact that he said it, because whatever the president wants to say, he's going to say it. But I was surprised that he would bring it up again. It does make sense with him being in Alabama, even though I go to school at the University of Tennessee and I refuse to say Roll Tide. I mean, he was in Alabama, which is like, football is the most wonderful thing. Football is life. It's like Jesus, family, football. I mean, it's like a part. It's almost like its own religion, but not quite. So for the president to say what he did, I was shocked that he was bringing it up again, but it didn't, it's kind of like Covfefe. It's like this whole thing, like it's going to stir the pot for a little bit while the president is off doing something else. But what kills me is that the man who started this, Kaepernick.
Yeah.
It's like, he didn't vote.
Oh, really?
Kaepernick didn't vote. There was a whole segment on it on ESPN, and yeah, Kaepernick came out and said that he did not vote.
Wow.
So this whole movement is a joke. It's a joke to me, because if the man who started the movement didn't even vote, then what are you doing?
Exactly. How well said is that? Okay.
I mean, and excuse me, the rally was in Huntsville, not Birmingham, but I mean, I was born in Dothan, Alabama, so to me, Huntsville and Birmingham are pretty similar, but I'm very well aware of the Southern Alabama region. But yeah, Kaepernick didn't even vote. So I understand that this movement was put in place to raise awareness of, you know, the whole white cops and African Americans and that whole situation of African American oppression, and, you know, it was a race issue, and I totally understand. However, the man who started the movement didn't even vote. So,
wow.
And now this movement isn't even a movement anymore. It's like a stand up against the president for saying, "Who are you to tell us what we can and cannot do?"
Can you imagine this under Obama? I mean, wow.
I don't think President Obama would have gotten on stage in Alabama and said, "Get that son of a beep off the field." I don't think President Obama would ever say that, which to me is what makes President Trump so entertaining. And one of the many reasons that I enjoy following him is that he says things like that, and he keeps you on your toes for sure. But under President Obama, this movement was started. And
good point.
No attention. There wasn't really any pushback like there is now, because the president didn't really come out and say, "No, don't do that," or he didn't endorse it, and he didn't condone it. So it started under his presidency, and it's continued. It's just that President Trump came out of the blue and brought it back up again. The man who started the movement isn't on a team anymore. So the movement had gone cold. It had gone irrelevant, and President Trump gave this movement, really it's just a protest against the president, new life. So it makes me wonder why he did that, if so to speak. Like, was it intentional? Did he want to draw attention away from something else that's happening? When the president does things like this, because this isn't the first time that he's done something like this, although I voted for the president and I support my president, it makes me wonder what his administration is working on while the media is pushing and focusing on these other things, on these other issues behind the scenes.
That is a good point as well. Because I do think that we're kind of watching that shiny trinket dangled before us. Meanwhile, things like the healthcare bill is not going anywhere. North Korea's flaming out, you know, and other things. So, okay. So what in your view should we be focused on, aside from the division that we see taking place, obviously, and really facilitated by the, in my view anyway, the communist or socialist in the power today. But where should our direction be focused, especially today?
Oh man, I mean, there are just so many issues that we have right now. I mean, we have the threat of North Korea. That's never fun. And that's a superpower. I mean, it's not a superpower, but it is slowly developing into one. And, you know, there are two sides to that. There's one side that says, why have we not squashed this? Why is this still growing? And then there's another one that's saying, like, well, we can't squash it because that's going to start World War III and all these other arguments. So that's looming right now. But what I don't understand is why aren't we focusing on Puerto Rico? That's a big concern. As someone who voted for President Trump, Puerto Rico, those are American citizens and they are in deep trouble right now. And I mean, after the hurricane, they need funds. Currently, I just watched it on Reuters earlier on the Reuters Now app. A cardiologist came out and said that he's telling people that if they can afford it, to get to the mainland, to get to America, because no help is coming to Puerto Rico. The Department of Defense hasn't come out and said anything. No one has really stepped up to help Puerto Rico, and those are American citizens. So I don't understand. Yes, the president said what he did, and whether I don't think that you should be kneeling during the national anthem, but I mean, that is your right, just like it's my First Amendment right to say that I don't agree with what you're doing. You do you. But I wish that he would draw attention to Puerto Rico, because right now I think that's something. I mean, those are our citizens, and I don't understand why he's not paying attention to them.
And that's a good point. You've got, what, 3.1 million in Puerto Rico. And they're looking – I just heard a report that up to a third could come to the mainland, at the very least, a third. So you're talking about a million Americans from Puerto Rico coming to the mainland because there's nothing there. There's no, and you're right, there's no help coming. And what's that, Lexi, in your informed opinion and research, why? Why is Puerto Rico being treated like the redheaded stepchild of our country?
Well, unfortunately, Puerto Rico has a, unfortunately, this happens. There seems to be, if there's no representation for you in Congress, if you don't have a strong voice where it matters, then you don't get attention when you need it. And which I don't agree with. I mean, I don't think that that's fair, but for some reason in our government today, there seems to be that mentality of if you don't have a very strong voice pulling for you, then you're not going to get the attention that you need. So this has kind of been a trend with our territories, our islands, such as like Puerto Rico. Like, they are American citizens, and for some reason we don't view them as American citizens simply because they aren't on the mainland, which we should be treating this situation just the same as we would Texas or Florida or Louisiana. And if we're going to grant, people the right to call themselves American citizens, then we should treat them just like we would any other citizen. And I don't understand, like, where the disconnect is. I strongly believe that it's because that there is a lack of a platform and a voice for these individuals, and therefore there's no help coming.
Hmm. And that's a frightening, disturbing thought. And I agree with you on this. Just looking at this, none of this feels right. Do you think Donald Trump is getting the message? I mean, he's got to be, right? Or is he too insulated?
I think that the president is getting the message. However, I think that the president is so consumed by the backlash that he's received from his one comment that for some reason, whatever he sees people latching onto on Twitter, that's what he keeps going with. That's what he keeps going with. And then you have a few people who are stepping up and saying, Puerto Rico. And then our voices are just kind of like shoved to the bottom of the rest of whatever needs to be heard. I think that he is getting this in his intelligence briefings, but I mean, that's just my speculation. I would hope that the intelligence community would brief him on what's happening to American citizens in Puerto Rico. But I just don't know if he's treating it the same as he is. I really think, unfortunately, that I don't know if he is getting all the information. Now that I talk it out with y'all and I think about it, I'm not sure if he fully understands the magnitude of it. I think hopefully by tomorrow he would voice his concern and say, our Puerto Rican citizens, like, our hearts are with you. We're going to start doing stuff to help y'all, and because you are American citizens, and hopefully it'll sink in, and hopefully someone who's watching his social media is going to pipe up at the, I hope some intern who's watching his social media is going to pipe up at the next meeting and say, sir, there's an issue in Puerto Rico and it's bigger than you think it is, and we should probably do something. But you never really know what's going on in the White House. We can speculate like I'm doing right now, but we're not behind those closed doors. We don't know what, Sarah Huckabee is saying right now, Sarah Sanders. We don't know what she's saying. I will always call her Sarah Huckabee, like, forever.
I do the same
forever.
Thing.
Forever.
I know.
We don't know what she's saying. We don't know what my girl Kellyanne Conway is saying. We don't know. We just don't know. So hopefully he will get the information that he needs, and hopefully he would act on it.
That's, I hope so. I just see this, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, you know, it seems like he's being, the information that he's getting is selective. Oh, you know, North Korea, and I understand the severity of it, but that information is getting through. But, you know, the potential for the dam breaking in Puerto Rico and the millions affected, not so much. So it's almost like the selective insulation or insulation with selective information getting through. But you're right. Okay. Well, and I'm glad you're kind of keeping your eyes on this and looking at this. And by the way, you can follow Lexi Bess at Lexi Bess on Twitter. That is correct, right? I did get
yes,
that right.
Okay. It is.
All right. By the way, I do follow you, and we do, and it's fun to see your as a political blogger, a contributor for Red Alert, and as you describe yourself, this rare millennial conservative. Foreign affairs, national security, Middle East, and such, Second Amendment. I love it. So, okay, let's kind of pull back a little bit. North Korea, your thoughts, because that's a huge issue.
Oh, man. So, currently in my home right now, we've got two sides. We've got my side that's saying North Korea needs to chill. I'm really happy that China's taking the steps that it is to pull, you know, oil exports from North Korea, and I'm happy that some kind of steps are being taken, and I think that Nikki Haley is really, she's trying, man. I think that she would do a better job as Secretary of State, but that's just me, but she's doing great where she is. Right now I'm just like, I'm cheering on the positive things that are going on, and meanwhile I've got my boyfriend who is in the Army National Guard, and he's like, hey, this is job security. Let's go. And I'm like, no, stop. And he's not the only one. I have a lot of friends in Army ROTC who are very much like, hey, North Korea is job security. Like, let's roll with it. And I'm like, I need y'all to calm down because I can't handle that. It is very scary what's happening, because it's been said that it would be just as horrific as Vietnam, the terrain would be. So,
you know,
scary.
Well, you don't you don't think that there would be any troops deployed, do you? Or in North Korea? Or would it be just from the air? Or air and sea without the troops, just the bombing? That's kind of my question.
I don't think that air and sea would get the message across with quote-unquote Rocket Man. I mean, we've got these fighter jets flying like right next to the border and doing these exercises with not real bombs, but like real bombs on an island right next to the coast, showing our power, showing a sign of force, saying like, hey, you need to chill, Rocket Man. Like, we're not messing around. And then he continues to like see how far his missiles can go. And it's just getting farther and closer to America. So I think that if we were to go to war with North Korea, it would be an all out war. I think that it would be land, air, and sea. Just because of how severe. I don't think that we're going to do anything though until I think that North Korea would have to do something, because China has already said if America were to take the first step, we would defend North Korea. But if North Korea were to take the first step, then we would be on America's side. So I think that the United States would definitely wait for North Korea to do something. But when North Korea does do something, oh, it's going to be a full on bloodbath with this administration, with Mad Dog. I mean, we do have to think of who our Department of Defense is right now.
Yeah.
And he's not just gonna like let our air and sea forces handle it. Oh no, 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 no. He's gonna wanna send in his Marines. He's gonna wanna send in the 101st. He's gonna wanna go through a full on war. And because he wants to get the message across, this administration wants to get the message across, like, we are the United States. We are the power. We are, it's us or nothing. And what's interesting, there was actually an article in the Wall Street Journal about this anti-America rhetoric that's going through North Korea. And it was in this weekend's journal, and it was under the review. There was like a whole part of it, and like it explained how cakes have rockets on them, rocket decorations, and kids are playing, instead of with toy garbage trucks, they're playing with like toy rockets. And this concept of rockets literally consumes North Korea. It consumes the culture. Like, we are like this power. We have the rockets, and they're listening to their leader, and they're listening to him, and they're saying, like, we are the power. The United States, like, they're below us. They're nothing. Like, we're this power. And in all honesty, it's taking them how long to get a rocket together? I mean, it's just, you look at their little parades of equipment and tanks, and, I mean, like, you can just see that it's not up to par with what our equipment is.
Obviously,
so it's,
yeah.
I mean, obviously. But like,
okay, but you mentioned something very important there in my view. Do you believe that the rhetoric by the North Korean leader there is for more internal consumption within their country? As you mentioned, the rocket cakes and such, and the talk about all this. So would it be more for internal consumption as opposed to international consumption? Or is it both? Or what do you think?
Well, I think what's going on right now is I think that they are preparing those in North Korea, they are preparing them. It's almost like brainwashing. Okay. So it's kind of like saying, we are the power. We're doing what we need to do to defend ourselves. Rockets are okay. And if the United States were to to attack us because we attacked them because of our rockets, we're still like this dominating. We're still this power. So it's kind of like preparing this culture for a war, is how I see it. From like a, I'm not a psychology student, but like this idea that if we prepare our citizens for war, then they'll be better prepared for it. And if they think that we're this world power, then they'll have this confidence boost and this morale and this whole idea behind it. So it's definitely for an internal, not an external. Like, whenever the Wall Street Journal wrote this article, it was just like talking about what's going on in North Korea. But if you hadn't read this article, you really wouldn't have known about it. Like, no world news is really discussing rocket cakes. It's more of like an internal, almost brainwashing, but not quite. It's like an internal culture thing going on that I found interesting. And they do have, they had an anti-America rally, I'm pretty sure, in North Korea, where, you know, they just came together and they were like, what the president of the United States said will not be tolerated. And there was like, they had this political poster of a tank rolling on top. It was like, it was in Korean, but apparently they were like American slangs or like American sayings, and the tank was like rolling over them. So there's definitely this whole like political campaign that's very much anti-America plus the rocket. So it's definitely like an internal push to kind of prepare. I think that they're preparing to go to war with America. They're just assuming it's going to happen.
Sanctions? Thoughts on those?
I mean, gosh, I wish.
How much more can be done, you know?
It's true. Honestly, at this point, I think that we're just throwing stuff on the table to say that we did it, to say that we tried, and then whenever it doesn't work, we're just going to be like, hey, we tried. This is our last option. It's just kind of, they don't want to sit there and say, well, we didn't try and this is what happened. They want to be able to sit there and say, no, we did X, Y, and Z, and now we're like going to have to attack North Korea because these other things didn't happen. So it's, sanctions are not going to work. It's just this, it's kind of like a check.
Yeah.
It's like checking off a list, saying, well, tried that.
Going through the motions is what we're doing, and satisfying the international community to some extent, although they're not going to be satisfied, but I get what you're saying. And you mentioned about the Mad Dog Mattis being in a position. Does that kind of give you cause for pause?
What do you mean?
Well,
does that kind of...
I mean, Mattis being in the position that he's in, are you reassured by that, or are you...
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I just want to make, I kind of want to get your feelings, though. You know, based on your research and also having a skin in the game, literally, you know, with your boyfriend, just kind of curious as to what, you know, what your thoughts are.
Oh, my goodness. When Mad Dog was there on television and said, oh, nothing keeps me up at night. I keep other people up at night. Sold. You got me. Keep him. Like, just every administration should have a Mad Dog.
I
mean, my mother was talking to me whenever the nominations for the cabinet were coming up at the beginning of this administration, and the education recommendation, that cabinet member for education, my mother came up to me and she said, and you'll have to excuse me because I just literally had 9 hours of school, so like I'm slow today, but my mother came up to me and she was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I feel about this nomination for education and blah blah blah. And I looked at her and I was like, Mom, why are you concerned about that? And she was like, well, it's an important thing, it's the Department of Education. And I was like, Mom, we got Mad Dog. Like, your national security is fine. That's all you need to worry about. If your national security is okay, everything else is going to be okay. So just chill. And that kind of opened her mind to, oh, yeah.
Are you popular? You're not that popular on campus, are you?
Not for my political views. Absolutely not.
Well, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Nope. Absolutely not.
All right. All right, but your assessments, you know, and it's amazing, 9 hours of class time, and now you're with us for an hour, your assessments, your research, I gotta tell you, it's you could go head to head, I believe, with anyone on the mainstream media, any of these talking heads, so good job. I mean, especially with your, the research you've already done, and it's amazed me. By the way, we're just coming up here about 2 minutes away from a break. We covered the, by the way, let me go back to the NFL. What we're seeing there, I believe really is the outgrowth or the consequence of 8 years, 10 years of Obama, Clinton, that mentality. Your quick thoughts to that? I mean, again, just to reiterate.
Well, what I would start out with, I just want to remind everyone that Twitter and Facebook were born during the Obama administration, or they picked up during the Obama administration. So those, the millennials, I know I'm one of them, it's so unfortunate, but the millennials grew up with this concept of the Obama administration, and they didn't grow up to see any other administration. And then you have social media just pushing the agenda of the Obama administration, and then you have the Clintons coming back into play with social media, and conservatives just kind of sat there with, oh my goodness, there's this thing called social media and we're not pushing our platform because like we aren't in the White House, or like we're just, for some reason they just didn't push their platform like they should have. And most social media these days is towards the left, leans to the left. Even their CEOs lean to the left. Don't get me started, but
they're to the left of Mao.
It's just, my generation grew up with the Obama Clinton
right
ideals. So these people, this movement is just furthered. I mean, these men, you know, whenever they were on it, I mean, some of these men, whenever they were 24 or 23, when their frontal lobes were still being developed, because, you know, guys, it takes a little longer, scientifically proven. You know, whenever they were getting developed, they were pushed.
Lexi, hold on. We're up against the break. Yeah, we're sorry about that delayed development of our, you know, frontal lobe and stuff, you know, the intellectual development. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report. Our guest, Lexi Bess, follow her on Twitter, at Lexi Bess, and of course, LexiBess.com. Great, great information. She's on top, she really is on top of everything. A conservative millennial, a rare breed, but maybe not so much, but she does have her stuff together. Stay right where you're at. Network break, 3 minutes. Right back.
We will be right back. Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changelessthewoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagmann and Hagmann Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Conservative millennial. What's the modifier here? I'm not sure. They're both, but she knows of which that of which she speaks. She's a great researcher and she does go to school full time, university full time, but she's got a website. She's got, that's LexiBest.com. And of course you can follow her on Twitter. And the fact of the matter is, she is taking the pulse and giving us information about really what's taking place all across America and, especially in the millennial group. So I think that the takeaway from this, especially talking with Lexi, is all is not lost. There is hope for that generation. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to mention too, if you wonder where Joe went, it was during the first part, which is why it was kind of screwed up. He got notified of the broken pipe in his apartment. So he's off to take care of that. I said, go, take care of that. And never fun when that happens, believe me. Oh well. So that's where he's at. But Lexi, thanks for holding over on the break, and let's continue right through the top of the hour. My goodness, there was a shooting in Antioch, Tennessee, not too far from. I mean, it's your turf in a sense. That happened this weekend, and there wasn't too much information really about it. Did I just say that right? There was a shooting in a church. Did I just say that?
Yes. Okay. Unfortunately. All right. That is correct.
Okay. For some reason, I blanked out there for a second. I don't know. Tell us about that. What you know about that and what's being reported versus the facts. And my goodness.
So what I know is that it was right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. So it wasn't in Nashville. It was right outside of Nashville. It's almost like the same county. So what happened was this man walked in. He shot a woman in the parking lot of a church, and then he walked in with two pistols and he opened opening fire, and he killed one person and wounded seven. But he walked into the church and he opened fire, and an usher tackled him or fought him and caused the shooter, the gunman, he caused him to kind of give himself a self-inflicted wound and took the guns away, and then went out to his vehicle and got this churchgoer, from what I've seen in the reports, went out to his vehicle, got another weapon, and held this shooter at gunpoint until the police showed up. He was a concealed carry. I'm pretty sure from the reports, there are so many reports because the mainstream media, no surprise, they aren't dedicating enough resources to the story, and the facts are all over the place. So, there is a report that he was a concealed carry permit carrier, went out to his vehicle, got his weapon, and held the shooter at gunpoint until the police showed up. And this man who did the shooting, he is a Sudanese immigrant. And he came over to the United States whenever he was 4 or 5 years old. So
right.
What's interesting is that...
That's Emmanuel K. Sampson is the shooter. And he is a Sudanese. And as a matter of fact, as soon as this happened, I'll just tell people this. HomelandSecurityUS.com, I captured his... As soon as I heard about this, I went on social networking, which was scrubbed like within 2 hours, Lexi. I mean, his Facebook posting. His Facebook page was scrubbed 2 hours. It's on HomelandSecurityUS.com. He studied psychology at Mott Community College. He went to Smyrna High School, lives in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and from Khartoum, Sudan. And his name, of course, is Emmanuel K. Sampson, just as an FYI. So go ahead.
Yeah, so that's crazy. But he came over to the United States whenever he was 4 or 5 years old, and a lot of people on Twitter, on Facebook, whenever they got this information, a lot of people kind of were waiting for the mainstream media to pick it up, and it took a while to pick it up. But a lot of people, whenever they were retweeting it, And you can, I may be wrong in this, but whenever a lot of people were retweeting it, they were saying that he was an immigrant from one of the countries listed on Trump's initial travel ban.
That's right.
So I figured that was right, but like I said, 9 hours of classes, think straight.
That's fine, and you're doing well, and I love you for it, because you're just plowing through. But yeah, his social networking, he self-identifies as being from Sudan. He gave no age. This guy's a big body weightlifter guy, kind of guy. And the usher was Robert Engel, a 22-year-old kid who got pistol whipped. And in the process of that whole thing, apparently, and tell me if I'm right, Samson, the gun went off and hit Samson. Although that was like a non-fatal, the guy was released after treatment. And but Engel went out to his car, got his weapon, went back in, and held him at bay. So.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. And what's crazy about this is I was actually sitting in church when this happened on Sunday, and I was with my boyfriend, who is a concealed carry permit man, and he does carry, even though he's not supposed to. Sometimes he may or may not carry in churches, but he doesn't do it intentionally. I think that he just forgets. So. Because he is a police officer, technically, because he's a police officer, he always has his badge and he can always carry, but that's for another time.
Sure.
So he was in the church and he did have his firearm, and I was sitting there and I was like, man, I wonder what would happen if an active shooter came through the door. And what's crazy is that we left service and I checked my phone and there was a shooting right outside of Nashville. So it's disheartening to know that the mainstream media is not isn't giving this as much coverage as I think that they should be, especially with the travel ban going on. Trump just released a permanent, like there is no end date for this new travel ban of more nations being added, like Venezuela and North Korea. Well, there's no surprise for North Korea, but he added more places on this travel ban list, and he's made it harder to fight against in court. And it's just crazy that this story isn't being reported whenever he was from Sudan, which right. is on the... So right. It makes you wonder, even Fox, I was kind of disappointed with Fox. I was like, hey, oh, they kind of took them a minute. They did report it, but it took them a minute. So it's disheartening whenever...
But to be fair, okay, and to be balanced. I didn't mean to say fair and balanced, but... So you've got a young... the shooter coming over to the United States when he was 4 or 5 probably knows no other culture than the American culture, or at least as he sees it from within the family unit that he may or may not have had. I don't know. And I was looking at some of his Facebook postings. He's all kind of all over the place with respect to his beliefs. So it's kind of a bipolar, to me, a bipolar situation. But aside from that, you know what, Lexi? You know, here's what concerns me. I think this speaks to a larger issue. Conservative Christians, or Christian conservatives, whichever, aren't we... I mean, isn't there something wrong when we are the target in a free America? When we have to think about care, like you were thinking. You know, what would happen if an active shooter came in? You're thinking that because it's happening. Isn't there something wrong? Isn't that the issue, the larger issue here?
Oh, absolutely. That no one should have to think that way. Absolutely no one should have to think that way. No matter, I mean, yes, I am a Christian, but no religion should
right.
have to think that way. Unless, I mean, like if you're an extremist, then that's a totally different conversation for a different time. But no one should have to think that way. No one should have to sit there and think of an exit route. No one should have to sit there and think, oh my gosh, if they're an active shooter, could I hide underneath this pew? But unfortunately, that's the world that we live in. And, you know, I have those thoughts in my classes. I'll sit in the front row and I'll look at the door and I'll say, if an active shooter were to bust through that door, what would I do? And unfortunately, we live in a culture where we have to think that way, especially with the invention of safe spaces, whatever the world, whatever that is. Honestly, safe spaces are just spaces for you to have a target on your back for those who aren't law-abiding citizens to open fire on you. And you can't return because you are a law-abiding citizen who got your carry permit legally, but, you know, you can't carry everywhere because they're trying to prevent the bad guys. Like, the bad guys are going to abide by the laws.
And
but that's just
won't.
The world. You know, yeah, in a perfect world.
Yeah,
but,
and I have to ask you, because I don't have any, obviously, any children in university at this point, but do you feel safe where you're at in school? Obviously, you're thinking about this kind of stuff, but do you feel safe?
I feel safe because I am aware.
Okay.
If I wasn't aware, I would be in danger. Unfortunately, that's the culture that we lived in. I actually made a video on my Facebook page about the Georgia Tech shooting. And I don't know if you've talked about that or if you've caught up about that, but basically this student who is 22 years old, I want to say, he called 911. This is such a crazy story. It's so crazy. He called 911.
Yeah, please talk about this. This
okay,
is fascinating.
Okay.
I love this.
This is, oh my gosh. It makes me want to scream. So this student, this was last week, a student called 911. The student describes another student as walking down the street, has a knife in his hand, and it looks like he has a gun on his hip, describes him as wearing jeans and a white shirt, and then he gives the name of himself, giving the report in case they need to call him for questions later. Turns out the guy was calling in on himself. Police show up to the scene. Georgia Tech police show up on the scene. Georgia Tech police officers do not carry tasers. I think it's pretty smart, but... So Georgia Tech police show up, and he's slowly walking towards the officers. Looks like he has a knife in his hand. In their mind, they're listening to dispatch. He has a gun on his hip, and he's slowly walking towards them. And there are three officers in the videos and slowly walking, and they tell him to stop multiple times. And at one point, this student looks at them and says, "Shoot me." When a police officer hears that, in their mind, they're like, this student is going to do whatever they need to do to get me to shoot them. So, in other words, either I have to put my life at risk to detain this individual to keep them from hurting me so that I'll hurt them, or, you know, I just shoot them because they are a threat to this community. So, what happened was the officer shot this student, and the student later died. I want to say that it happened on a Saturday, the shooting did, and then he died on Sunday night in a Atlanta, Georgia hospital. And the whole community just exploded because guess what the student also was? He was a member of the LGBTQ community, and he was the president of an organization called the Pride Alliance Police. So what does this mean? This means that people came out of the woodworks to protest police brutality against the LGBTQ community. Whenever the Georgia Bureau of Investigation came out and said that they found three different suicide notes that the student had wrote prior to this entire thing, and 2 years ago he tried to commit suicide by hanging himself. I mean, suicide is horrible, and I feel bad for the family and the friends of this victim and the community because clearly there were things going on mentally. However, it was suicide by police. If my best friend committed suicide, I would be told that it wasn't my fault that I didn't keep her from committing suicide. So it's just interesting that since the police are the ones who pulled the trigger and they didn't have a taser, so they did what they needed to do to protect the community because they didn't know what mental state this individual was in, all the blame is being put on them whenever they were just doing their job. And I just... gets me angry like no other. And then people came out of the woodwork for an argument to say that no campus police, the lawyer, the lawyer for this family prosecuting the police department came out and said that campus police officers shouldn't be allowed to carry guns whatsoever. And I was like, homeboy, if that officer cannot carry a weapon, I'm carrying a weapon illegally. Excuse me, there will be a weapon on campus by some good guys. And if that good guy has to be me, then guess what? It's going to be me. I don't understand why, for some reason, there's this mentality of if we get guns away from the good guys, it'll help. Like the bad, there's like a disconnect. There's a disconnect.
Absolutely.
There's a person behind the gun. It's not the gun that does the killing. It's the So,
and that's, by the way, Lexi, and I'm glad you brought the case. That's one case with multiple aspects and facets to it. You know, the suicide by cop, the gun issue, all of this.
And really quick, I do want to comment because I see, because I actually have the chat open this time around.
Oh, okay.
I will say, I just, sometimes I like to glance over in case I get a fact wrong, then I can be like, oh, just kidding. But the reason, just quickly, I just want to comment on this one thing. The reason that the officer didn't shoot him in the leg, because I'm dating a police officer, so I am biased in this. Sorry, biased. But the reason that the police officer didn't shoot him in the leg is because you're not, whenever you shoot to kill. You shoot with a purpose. And also, whenever, if you were to shoot him in the leg, that bullet could easily ricochet and it could end up hurting someone else.
Right.
So there's a reason that he shot him in the heart. He was following his training. And when you pull out that gun, that is a last minute, like, you feel like either your life or those around you, their life is threatened. So there is another argument that, like, well, he should have just shot him in the foot or the leg. No,
that's such a wrong argument. That's such a, I don't know, if Lexi, is that just too much television or what? Or just ignorance? Because, you don't shoot the wound. You shoot center mass, and you shoot very decisively because of the threat.
Now, that's definitely from movies and television who, you know, they make it look like, well, whenever the bullet goes in, it's in to a leg. And it's just like, no. The bigger, like, a leg isn't big enough to contain the bullet. Like, it's science, people. Just look it up. It's science. I'm pretty sure that they did, like, that myth science, like, Mythbusters. And they were just like, this is why you can't shoot in the leg. And then it kind of showed it. So there's a whole science behind it.
There actually is. In law enforcement training, actually years, decades of experience and the cumulative training for law enforcement, whether federal, state, or local, it's all the same. You shoot to kill. You don't pull your gun out unless there's a definite threat, and then you shoot to kill. Or you shoot decisively center mass. Until the threat's neutralized. But the LGBT component to that as well should tell, in my view, should tell people, unless I'm wrong, of the mental, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but LGBT issues and mental illness kind of, I don't want to say this, they kind of go hand in hand at some point, don't they?
A lot of cases do. There are numbers on that. So there are statistics that show that there is quite a few, a good portion of the members of the LGBTQ plus community do have mental illnesses just because of the horrible remarks they receive, just the shunning, like families just shun them out. And, you know, whether I personally agree with the LGBTQ plus community or not, that's one thing. Meanwhile, I would never say something hateful to someone of this community. I wouldn't say anything hateful to anyone for no reason whatsoever, you know, just based on their sexuality. Like, why would you? I wouldn't say something racist to someone, and I wouldn't say something homophobic, and I wouldn't say something Islamophobic to someone. But for some reason, quite a few members of this community do have mental illnesses just because of the culture isolation from this community. So it definitely, quite a few members of this community do deal with this illness. So I do think that instead of targeting the police in this situation, the community needs to be focused on helping other members of their own community who might be going through something very similar. I mentioned this in the video on Facebook. I don't understand why the community is targeting their hatred and their grief towards a group of people who were just doing their job because they didn't have tasers and it wasn't in their protocol, so their only option was a gun. And the taser argument is for a different time. Why are you targeting your grief towards a group of people who literally put their lives on the line to protect you, and that's what they were trying to do in this situation? Why are you not bringing that grief back into your own community and trying to help those who might be going through something similar so that something like this doesn't happen? ever again.
You've got a lot of compassion. You really do. and that's a, and I say that complimentary, which is good. I mean, as for me, I just, you know, I look at the issues and I think, well, it kind of goes to your pinned tweet. And by the way, folks, our guest, Lexi Bess, at Lexi Bess, or your pinned tweet about, transitioning, which, you pinned back in August saying that you've been talking about, you know, this issue forever, where the American College of Pediatrics reaches a decision, transgenderism. It's about transgenderism. And I think it's pretty interesting, you know, cause you're in the forefront of this. And, this kind of applies somewhat, but this is child abuse, but it carries on to older ages, I believe. I think, where am I wrong?
I mean, no. You're right. Now, for me personally, I'll never say something hateful to anyone based off of their beliefs, their color, their skin, whatever. But whenever it comes to children, whenever it comes to a minor, someone who's under the age of 18, why are we letting them transition? Why are parents letting them transition? They, like I just said earlier, their frontal lobe is nowhere near developed. Their brains aren't developed to make rational decisions. They're considered minors and under your care for a reason because you've been around longer. Hopefully, in some cases, you know, teenage pregnancy, it's another conversation, but hopefully you've been around long enough so that you can help them make, so you can make rational decisions for them. Rational decisions for them. Now, you allowing your child to transition, you sterilized them upon completion. You allowed them to make a life-altering decision before they had enough life experience to make a life-altering decision. I don't blame the children for that. I blame the parents. Now, once they turn 18, shoot, you go let them do whatever they want. Ah, you go for it. But whenever they are under your care, you allowing them to transition is child abuse. You literally sterilized your own child.
And you know, and an argument can be made once they reach 18, you really... you've got little control over what they do in a legal sense, and even if they emancipate early, that's even a problem, and we're seeing that happen a lot today. But Lexi, you've kind of taken us right to the top of the hour almost. We've got, we're almost at the end of our time together. Anything else on your heart, on your mind that you'd like to, and you've done so well after a grueling Monday of class. But from your point, anything else that you'd like to mention in the final couple of minutes we've got?
Oh man. So I guess the big thing that's on my heart right now is to not lose complete hope don't lose complete hope with my generation. They grew up, and again, it's the compassion coming out of me. They grew up in a time period where they were surrounded by social media and they were surrounded by Twitter. They were surrounded by people, other viewpoints telling them the way that they should think, and it caused them to melt, and it caused them to join the bandwagon on what everyone else was doing. And there are some of us out there who are going against the current, and it can be really, really hard when you feel like you're alone because you're assumed, because you're a millennial, that you think one way. So I guess, you know, in your communities, in your families, in your friends, and in, you know, however you want to apply this, just remember that there are some millennials who just don't know any better. That doesn't excuse their behavior. Some millennials do some really ridiculous, unnecessary, stupid stuff.
No, but some of us... It explains. It doesn't excuse it, yeah. But it explains it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just keep that in mind. Remember, I mean, I grew up with Twitter and Facebook. Every day I deal with people in my own generation telling me that I'm a racist and I'm a homophobe and I'm an Islamophobe, and I'm sitting here telling you that I would never say something hateful to anyone based on their beliefs, the color of their skin, or who they choose to like or love. I believe in the separation of church and state, and I agree that you can just marry whoever you want to marry, because even though my religion doesn't bar it, that doesn't mean you could be an atheist and want to go do that. You do you. However, I do think that the government needs to defend the baker next door who doesn't want to make a cake for that wedding because it's against their religion, separation of church and state. Don't tell them what they can and cannot bake. Don't tell them who they can and cannot marry. Just step out of it.
That is a double-edged sword, by the way.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
So it's... Just remember that there are millennials who are going against the current, and sometimes they just need that support. They just need that push, because whenever I got that little bitty push, it just exploded. And then Lexi Vest was born, and it's just really grown. So,
Well, you give me hope. You give us hope.
Oh, thank you.
You really do.
And what's crazy is that women in my life, whether it be through my sorority and my classes, whatever, they've stepped out and they've said, because of you, I feel more comfortable stepping out and speaking my opinion. I agree with you. I back you, and I feel more confident because I follow your platform and you give those a voice who feel too scared to voice their opinion. So, I mean, if you want to follow me on this crazy journey, feel free. I know that the Hagmans always push my information out there. But just remember the millennials in your life, and remember that they may too need that push. They may need to have their challenge. They may need their views challenged because they aren't getting it right now on social media, which is, for these days, face-to-face confrontation isn't a thing anymore. So just remember that little Thanksgiving is coming up. So you can just kind of nudge that one. That's the favorite time to bring it up.
Very well said.
Don't scream it. Just have that calm, be the bigger person, calm conversation. And, you know, you may change them. You never know.
Very well said. Lexi Best, thank you so much. Again, after a challenging, hard Monday in the books, in the classroom, thank you so very much for your gift of time, a very, very gracious gift of time. Our go-to millennial conservative right there on the front lines, behind enemy lines to some extent, in the universities, in the university in the United States. Thank you so much, Lexi. Thank you so much
for having me.
All right.
It's a pleasure.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You keep on keeping on. We'll be talking. All right. Folks, we're going to be back. That was Lexi Best. What a great lady. What a great lady. Great young lady. And keep her in your prayers, as well as her boyfriend, who's a police officer. You know, I got to tell you, you talk about a thankless job. Oh, my goodness. We're going to be right back. Network break, 3 minutes. Stay where you're at.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, DanielHoldings.com. That's DanielHoldings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to DanielHoldings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in this community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.